Where? Charlie, over at Buckley. Hi, Charlie.
So how are you doing this afternoon?
Well, I'm just looking outside at that rain, and if I were inclined to get depressed, I would, but I'm not inclined that way, I guess, so I'm not.
So you take a little bit of that lithium every day, right?
Well, that's rubidium, sir, and in fact,
Oh,
since we
lithium.
yeah, in fact, since it does many other things in the body too, yep, from time to time I take some of that. It's an essential mineral, and as I said, in all the quote studies, very few side effects, if any.
I see. So I don't know if you know, my question is about the onset of AFib. I mean, it just comes out of nowhere, or with age, or.
Well, there's a number of things, sir. For one, there are four minerals that have been shown to help regulate the heartbeat. They happen to be copper, selenium, manganese, and of course, magnesium. And so we check people with AFib to see what their levels are of those four minerals. And if any of them are low, well, we got at least a chance of having some effect on the AFib. Now, that's definitely not all, though. No way. There's an amino acid out there called taurine, Taurine, that for some of the folks I work with, that alone controls their AFib. How does it do it? Well, taurine is an electricity regulator, and the biggest generators of electricity in our bodies happen to be our hearts and our brains. And so somehow, with the taurine, and sometimes one of the guys I'm working with, he takes 3 grams a day. You can look it up. That won't hurt anything, and that controls his AFib. Okay, it's also, I should mention, taurine is good, useful for children who have seizures because it helps them have less seizures. So we got four minerals and one amino acid that can possibly help an individual. Now, sometimes the problem is that person happens to be in the group that isn't digesting or absorbing well. So even though they may have plenty of that in their diet, it's either not being digested out of the diet, so it can be absorbed, or there's a problem with getting it absorbed. So there's some complications that can happen, but the majority of the time, we can at least, at Tahoma Clinic, we can at least help people reduce their incidence of this. And a lot of the time, what's a lot of the time? 40, 50%, we can help them get it completely controlled, sir. So, number of things to be thinking about.
I see. So, do you know about this medication called Eliquis? You know, it's, I guess, just a blood thinner.
That's all it is, sir. And what is so sad is because it isn't patentable. You never get told that fish oil does the same darn thing, and it does so many other good things in our bodies, and it hardly ever causes a problem. Now, researchers even narrowed it down. What they found was, if you go look at a bottle label of a bottle of fish oil, it'll say it has this much EPA and this much DHA. They always go together. That's the way fish do it. Okay, well, the researchers found that the EPA fraction helps keep a man's platelets slippery. And the DHA fraction helps keep a woman's platelets slippery, but they neither one of them will affect the opposite sex. So I ask guys, go look for the high EPA fraction. It's always going to have the DHA. And ladies, you go look for the high DHA fraction. It'll always have the EPA. It'll keep your platelets slippery. There's another thing, sir, and I know I'm going on, but one can even do one of two tests to find out how much fish oil keeps them nice and slippery, but not too darn slippery. Because it is possible to use too much Eliquis or too much fish oil, and then you cut yourself and you bleed awful easy and it won't stop bleeding. Okay, one test. It's been around for years. It's up at the University of Washington Laboratory. It checks platelet stickiness. It has this fancy name called platelet aggregometer, but all that means is how sticky are your platelets. And so you'll have the person take the fish oil, go get that test, and see if their platelets are slippery enough, but not too slippery. Now, there's another test that's done right there at Tahoma Clinic, upstairs from Tahoma Clinic, I should say, in the laboratory. It's called a blood viscosity test, a thickness of blood test. And that also tells us if the fish oil is too much, too little, or just right, because when we get that blood nice and smooth, ooh, gee, that means the platelets are less slippery, too. So anyway, sir, this is something that definitely, the Eliquis is interesting, but it's obsolete. We just don't know that it's obsolete yet because it's patentable, and that's all that gets pushed at us. But the research on the fractions of fish oil making the platelets slippery is very solid. And in fact, that's the reason we need tests, is that if a person takes too much fish oil, they could have them happen. Excuse me, get my line straight. They could have happened to them what happened to Eskimos in Greenland when this was first investigated. The researchers went over from Denmark to find out why they had the lowest risk of heart attack in the world but the highest risk of hemorrhagic stroke of the brain. It seems it was all the fish and fish oil and the diet. It kept their blood nice and slippery, and so they didn't have heart attacks. But guess what? When they whacked their heads, they couldn't stop bleeding, so they had more strokes. So anyway, sir, I'll shut up. Your turn.
Okay, so you're saying that the taurine, is that T-A-U-R-I-N-E?
You got it, sir.
Is that, so that could actually help regulate these electrical impulses that cause your heart to speed up or slow down.
Absolutely, so it can.
It can, and, it can help with that.
Yes, sir. And the nice thing is, it's so safe that a person can walk down the health food store and try it on their own. You don't even need a professional for that. Now, for some of the minerals, you better be working with a professional, but not that one.
Can I ask you this? Now, I know that some people, I know they were on warfarin. I heard it was like developed for rat poisoning or something.
That's correct, sir. That's what it was developed for.
So they bleed to death. Now, with the Eliquis, should somebody really stay away from vitamin K vegetables or what?
No, that's the warfarin we have to stay away from vitamin K. Vitamin K doesn't seem to make a difference to Eliquis, sir.
Okay. Anyway, I thank you very much for your time, and have a great New Year's.
You too, sir. And take a look at some of this natural stuff. There's solid research behind it. Thanks for calling.